Now we're going to read two passages from the Bible, from God's Word. We're going to read, first of all, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet. We're going to read chapter 53, and then some verses in John chapter 12. So then let us hear the Word of God as it is written. So we read, first of all, in Isaiah 53, and from the beginning. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender plant, and like a shoot rooted of dry ground. He has no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. And again we read some verses in John chapter 12. A few verses there from verse 37. John 12 and from verse 37 to 53. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Amen. And we pray that God would bless to us all the reading of his holy word this evening. It seems like ages since I've been here this evening, but it hasn't really been that long. But it's good to be together once again to look at God's word, and I'd like us seeking his blessing to look at a very well-known verse from Isaiah 53 that is echoed many years later by John in John chapter 12, verse 38. It's just simply John reiterating what Isaiah had said before, seeing in Jesus the prophecy being fulfilled. We read in verse 37 in John chapter 12, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. And this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed? Isaiah said this 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah had actually written this. He had seen a vision of a man who was going to be literally the suffering servant, the one who would be the sin bearer, the one who would die for his people in their place. And this is a passage we've probably heard before, spoken about and preached upon and studied and read and maybe memorized in Sunday school. Isaiah is asking the question that John is seeing fulfilled in the future. That after seeing so much, still so many stayed in unbelief, refusing to believe, unable to believe. Isaiah's words are sadly fulfilled. We live in an age of 24-hour everything, basically. 24-hour rolling news coverage, you know, no matter what time you switch on the TV, you will see, if you want to, news coverage. It's usually stuff that you get fed up of very quickly, if you're like me. Who isn't fed up of the news just now? Of Brexit? Who isn't fed up of all that other stuff? And sadly, the disaster, the tragedy in Mozambique and Zimbabwe and other parts of Africa with that terrible typhoon. We cannot escape from it on social media, on our phones, tablets, or whatever either. And the problem is nowadays a new phenomenon has come in that's called fake news. It didn't seem to be an issue in the past, or certainly we weren't aware of it as much as we are today in the past. And fake news, something that isn't true, put deliberately out there to confuse people, even to try and confuse an electorate. I don't know if any of you have been on the London Tube recently. They may have taken them down, but RT News, Russian television, were actually taking out big adverts on the Tube that were sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek kind of propaganda messages that were confusing people. And people just don't know what to believe. And over yesterday and today, as I was saying, we've seen these terrible images coming to us from East Africa of the typhoon that has hit so tragically, causing so much in the way of disaster. And it struck me that what would be the point of all this if all of these news bulletins and news reports were coming in and we didn't actually believe that they were true? We hear the message, we hear these reports, and we think that's just fake news. But it isn't, we know that. But Isaiah is saying, This is not fake news. But who has believed this? We could actually read what is in the previous chapter, in chapter 52, where Isaiah gives this portrait. He gives a picture of the person he sees in this vision. "See my servant," he says, "will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." And just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man. And his form marred beyond human likeness. Now, who could this be? "So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told they will see, and what they have not heard they will understand." And then Isaiah says, who has believed this? Who has believed this message? Who hath believed our report, as the King James Version of the Bible puts it? We've read a passage there from the Old Testament that maybe many of us have read before, maybe heard before, maybe even memorized or learned in Sunday school long ago. I wonder though, have we taken that message to heart? Has our society taken the message to heart? John is seeing here a parallel between what was happening 650, maybe 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, of the one who would come ultimately to fulfill all this. Isaiah's vision is a terrible, terrible vision. He sees one suffering. He sees someone he refers to as a suffering servant, who, as we'll see, hopefully taking the place of his people and suffering in their place. And John is quite clear about who this person is. This is taking us to the very heart of the gospel message itself, that this is Jesus of Nazareth. That this is Jesus, the Son of God. The one to whom all the nations of the earth will turn and seek. And the question is, who has believed this? Isaiah has been preaching to a people who didn't want to hear him. He's been preaching to a people to turn back to God and to get right with him, but a lot of the time they didn't want to know. And the sad tragedy historically is that what Isaiah preached was ignored, and the people went into exile. Isaiah had given them warnings. God had told him to warn the people that if they did not turn back to him, they would perish, they would suffer. And historically, we know outside of the Bible that Babylon, the mighty superpower of the day, came and crushed the little nation of Judah and took the people away into captivity. But Isaiah is seeing here as well the cure. He's seeing the healer. He's seeing the Redeemer, the one who will put things right. The Deliverer. The Messiah was to deliver the people of Judah in this way, that he would bear his people's sin upon himself. The Apostle Paul makes reference to this in Romans chapter 10, let's remember, writing to a church that is not Jewish at all. It's in Rome, obviously. He's writing to people who never were Jews. And he's writing to them to tell them about what happened when Jesus was crucified is fulfilling what was said long before. in Romans 10 it says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, Paul goes on to say, faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is only God that can help us to hear. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can hear what he is saying to us. What does this chapter then have to show us about this Saviour? The question is for us, do we believe this or do we not? We live in a day of unbelief. And the problem, the tragedy that John is speaking about was that people's hearts were hardened to the message of Jesus, so that they wouldn't believe. And the same is sadly true in our day as well, that there are many who do not, cannot, won't believe. And as if covering their ears. But putting everything to one side and asking yourselves the questions that will follow. Do we believe? Do you believe? Do I believe what the Bible says about Jesus? Making reference to that first verse there. Do we believe that he was despised and rejected? Isaiah says, who has believed this? Who has believed what we have had to say? Who has believed that this is the one who grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground? There was nothing that would draw us to him. There was nothing attractive. There was nothing about him that would draw us as a charismatic, appealing personality. And this is what Isaiah goes on to say. He was despised and he was rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. The sad truth is that what John has to say many years later fulfills all this too. In his very first chapter, John puts it like this. Speaking about Jesus, he said of him, he came to his own, meaning the Jews. He came to his own, but his own received him not. They didn't accept him, they didn't take to him, they rejected him. And Isaiah says about this man, he was despised and rejected by us. And he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him and we turned our back to him. And the words of the Lord many years later in another place in the Gospel remind us of what the Old Testament has to say. All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a wayward and gainsaying people. And the Lord did that when he was fulfilling what John says earlier on in the chapter we're reading from. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And that is true. And always will be true. That when Jesus Christ is preached, when we come into the Bible and see the truth of the Word of God, that the crucified Saviour is the one Saviour, and there is no other, and there is only one way, only one truth, and only one life, and that's found in Jesus. What the Bible has to say about Jesus being despised and being rejected, being a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, as one from whom others hide their faces. That's not just history. All you have to do is have a look at Twitter on any day of the week, on any Christian feed or anything, and to see all the stuff that others post. As counterattacks to the gospel message. He's denied. And sometimes even in his church. Do we believe that Jesus was despised and rejected? And do we believe that he bore our griefs? And this prophecy was said to have been fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ brought healing to others. Matthew chapter 8, it reads in this way. When the evening had come, they brought to him many that were possessed of demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So time and time again, in the New Testament, the Old Testament is fulfilled. And that verse in the Matthew's Gospel is simply fulfilling what is written there in verse 4 in Isaiah 53. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Isn't it amazing? What we carry in this life when we don't need to. When we know that Jesus bore these things for us. We're not even getting to what verse 5 has to say. But think of yourself and think of your loved ones. And think of the many pains and hurts and other things that we've gone through. And be reminded that the Savior carried these things so we don't have to. He's still calling people to give over to him these pains and sufferings and griefs so he can carry them for us. That's why we pray. That's why we pray for others. That's why we try to pray for those who cannot or will not pray for themselves. But the thing is this, though the question remains, who believes this? Now, Christ carried our load of pain. And do we think that the false gods of today can? Can the false gods, the religions of the East, can they carry your sorrows? Can Allah carry your sorrows? Christ says to us, as he has said from the beginning, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do we believe that he bore our griefs? Do we believe that by his stripes we are healed? By his wounds we are healed. We don't need to go into the detail of what the gospel has to say about the crucifixion. We know the story well. But simply to say this, after Jesus had been tried before Pilate, he was taken and he was flogged. And this is what I see as being the fulfillment of that verse. By his wounds we are healed. All that was laid upon him was Jesus bearing the punishment that was rightly earned. Some of you may have seen the film The Passion of the Christ. In that film, Jim Caviezel, the actor who plays Jesus in that part, puts in a massive performance. At one point, during that terrible flogging scene that is very, very hard to watch, he was wearing a back protector, and the thing slipped in one way or another, and a lash actually hit him, and he almost fainted with the pain. With one lash. And Jesus had no protection. And still less did he have the protection against the fury of hell that was unleashed against him to try and take him from the cross. Because hell knew what was happening. That this was the Son of God putting things right and destroying the work of the devil at the same time. Oh, the word asks us, is it nothing to you who pass by? The question is always asked. Even if we ourselves give no answer, or even if we ourselves choose not to hear that question. What do you think of Christ? We read that verse again. Many of us have learned that verse. We know it maybe from the King James Bible more than another, of what it is that happened and who he is. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that is the great exchange of all exchanges. Jesus taking your place and mine to bring us healing. Do we believe this? The challenge is there in the Old and in the New Testament. Are we going to be like those that John is simply speaking of, those who just rejected Jesus, turned away from him? Remember in another place how there were many who could follow him no more. They had heard his teaching. It was too hard for them. And they followed him no more. It was at that point that the Lord confronted his own disciples and asked them, "Will you also go away?" And Peter gives a great answer. You know, Peter is so impetuous and headstrong at times, and he seems to put his foot in it, but sometimes he gets it right, doesn't he? He said, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life." Do we believe that it is by his wounds that we are healed? And also, do we believe that we as sheep have gone astray? If we know anything about sheep, we know that they go astray. They put sheep in a field, and if there's a way out, they'll take it. Matthew chapter 9 makes reference to the time when the Lord Jesus taught in synagogues and healed the sick, and said that he had compassion on the people, that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And wherever they're supposed not to go is where they'll go. And Isaiah is simply saying that we're no different. And for one reason or another, whether it's that we think the grass is greener on the other side. John Bunyan in The Pilgrim's Progress makes great reference to that in many different places, different ways, of how it is so easy for someone to leave the path, to go the wrong way, to take the wrong turn. Is that us? But the fact is, and the prophet makes it very clear here, and the psalm we sang at the beginning makes it even more abundantly clear, that without the shepherd, the sheep have no hope. And if there should be anything that should be abundantly clear today, in our day and age, it is that without Jesus, we have absolutely no hope whatsoever. If we're coming together for philosophical reasons or sentimental reasons to talk about historical traditions and things, then we have no hope. But if we're putting our faith and our trust in a living God, a risen and living Saviour, whose glory will fill the earth. And that's a different story. He died for us and rose for us. There is Jesus. And Isaiah describes it in this way: we all like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything that we are is put upon him. Without going into too much detail, because our time's racing by as usual. I'm looking at that clock. Our time is going, but you know, there was the story in the Old Testament of how the scapegoat would be taken. That's where the term that we use nowadays, or someone who has the blame put upon them. Figuratively, Moses and Aaron would take a goat and lay their hands on it and symbolically transfer the sin of the people onto one of a pair of goats. And one of those goats will be shooed out into the desert, wilderness, as if symbolically taking the people's sin. Isaiah is saying, everything that we are was laid not on the scapegoat, but on the spotless lamb. On the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist put it. And then Isaiah goes on to say something amazing as well. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. When Jesus was asked questions by the high priest on his trial before the crucifixion, he gave no answer. Like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It's a wonder to me that the high priest dared to ask Jesus anything, considering how easily he had defeated them before, without even going into the many occasions that the gospel records that happening. All these other things that we don't really have time to look into, but do we believe that these are true? That he was taken from prison and from judgment in verse 8. And that he made his grave with the rich, the grave of a rich man called Joseph of Arimathea, was where his body was laid to rest by two of the, what we would call MPs. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, powerful, influential members of the ruling council. Secret believer. He made a grave with the rich in his death. It also challenges us. Was this the Lord's will? And do we believe that it was the Lord's will, as Isaiah says in that verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, as the King James Version puts it. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, He will see his offspring and prolong his days. He took our place. And John is simply, as I said, echoing what has been said long before. Can we believe this? Are our hearts hardened through unbelief? Are our eyes, as the two were on the road to Emmaus, and as even Mary Magdalene's were, blinded by grief in a sense, that we cannot see? You know, they couldn't see who was walking with them and talking to them because, as the old version of the Bible puts it, their eyes were holden. They were kept from knowing him. It pleased the Lord to bruise. By what he does, many will be made right. They will be given a place because of what he has done. And they will be put right because of what he has and is. And he will be satisfied. And he will say that it was worth it. And the amazing thing is that although we might think of millions and millions and millions who have believed and lived for Jesus, imagine if it was just one, he would still say that you were worth it. There are too many places in the New Testament, too many places we could cross-reference everything that is happening in Isaiah chapter 53. The question for us tonight, though, is do we believe this for ourselves? I'm going to close simply by making reference to the last one, or one of the last ones. That he was numbered with the transgressors. And we read there in the gospel story that he was between two thieves when he was crucified. And with him they crucified two thieves. And all that the chapter is showing us, all that the chapter speaks of the suffering servant of Jesus who died for you and for me, the question is, have we believed this report, or have we, as maybe Donald Trump would say, when anything that was said that he didn't like is just fake news? Well, everything isn't fake news. And I don't believe that this is fake news. But this is something that is faith news. And only through faith can we believe that this is not just generally true, but personally something we believe. That Jesus died for us. That Jesus died for you. And that he died for me. I cannot prove this simply by preaching. The Holy Spirit can bring conviction and bring that challenge and bring that sense that this is true. This is the Jesus that is shown to me in the Bible. He died for me. And he took my place. May God help us to believe. And may he bless his word to us tonight. Let's pray once again. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.